Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
Now, worry and anxiety can damage our careers and relationships. It can feed into you being stagnated in your work. It's detrimental to our self-esteem and it does keep us from taking advantage of new opportunities. Now, many of us do ask ourselves the age-old questions of how to cope and manage with anxiety during these times when we are feeling overwhelmed and we have that horrible self-doubt. Well, my next guest is a counsellor, psychotherapist and author of The Professional Worrier, a book which builds awareness around our worries to meet them head on. Well, you're very welcome to the show, Stuart Geddes.
Thanks very much for having me, Claire.
We were talking there in the break about anxiety and there is a lot of talk, and I'm glad there is, around social anxiety and physical anxiety. And yes, that's a part of it, but you're very much focusing here on anxiety around work. And I think while some of us have felt anxiety in life, others feel like it's something that's far away from us. But I think we've all had some of the things we touched on there. Self-doubt, procrastination, allowing anxiety to hold us back professionally.
Yeah, absolutely. Because if you look at, actually, even if you look at the people today enjoying their bank holiday weekend, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock on the bank holiday Monday, whereas this should be a really relaxing time, we're already moving to what about work? What if this happens? Like worry about tomorrow and all that kind of thing. So it's about... it's about kind of tackling the worries we have about work. It's about tackling the different elements of work that bring on anxiety. Because if we struggle a little bit with anxiety, or even if we don't even know we struggle with anxiety, the workplace is a place where it'll come to the fore.
A lot of people talk about that feeling on a Sunday night when you were a kid. People say the Glen Rowe theme. For me, it was the school around the corner. Yeah. That you just get that feeling in the pit of your stomach of tomorrow, and that you don't have your homework done, or you're not ready for that test, or whatever it is. If you're getting that about work, does it mean you're in the wrong job?
Not necessarily, because if you look at what you're talking about there is anticipatory anxiety. If you look at that, generally Monday come 10 o'clock, when you've settled in, you've said your hellos to everybody, it's gone. You're wondering kind of like, what was Sunday about? Like that, you've done a bit of work, you've said hi, all your bits and pieces, the week has started, Monday has started. It tends to be that it calms down. It's the worry of the next day, because worry is generally intolerance of uncertainty and self-doubt kind of combined. So the mind brings up all sort of what if this happens, worst case scenarios, catastrophization. And when we actually meet the actual situation at hand, it's none of those things. It tends to be just a regular day with regular work to do and regular things that we can cope with.
Because obviously we love freedom, we love going on holidays, we love sitting around watching Netflix, but realistically you're not going to be able to do that every single day. So not everyone is going to trip happily into work or jump out of bed when the alarm goes off, but that doesn't necessarily, as you say, mean you're in the wrong job.
Yeah.
What about when it takes a step on though and you're very much anxious in the workplace, you're constantly doubting yourself and it's affecting your performance?
Sure. Well, and this is the really important thing is to try and unpack what is actually going on for you. And this is what I try to do in my book is to give the main, like a lot of areas where anxiety can be overblown, like perfectionism, people pleasing, fear of conflict, the imposter syndrome, all that kind of stuff that adds to our anxiety. That's not necessarily there, but we bring to it. We add pieces that like I say, that aren't necessarily there.
Where does that come from? Because I do remember being younger and always thinking that, you know, when I get to work, I'll feel a certain way. But I still feel pretty much the same way as I did in my 20s. Like, yes, I've amassed a massive amount of experience along the way and that has brought some confidence with it. But I think you think you're going to change and become this briefcase holding bowler hat wearing person. And then that doesn't happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that in itself can lead you to thinking that there's something different about you, and I think, or you're not necessarily normal, or there's other people are adults, if you like, and we're not, and that's a real problem. If you don't see yourself as an adult, and a lot of people in their 20s have this, especially like nowadays with the, I don't want to go into the housing market or anything like that, but you haven't moved out of home, you're struggling to kind of pay rent, so you're kind of living at home. You have that sense of I'm a child in an adult world. That can give us that sense of like. I don't know. I don't necessarily trust myself here.
And that's your first chapter, which I thought was really interesting, that there is no normal. There is no way that everybody is supposed to feel. And you shouldn't assume that the way you're feeling isn't the exact same way as the fella beside you in the desk is.
Yeah, exactly. But because we only have access to our own thoughts and we only have access to our own feelings and everybody else looks perfectly put together and really professional and stuff, we just presume that we're less than or we're not as good or we're not normal. There's this sense of normal. Like so many of my clients have that. They feel they're weird or they're awkward or they're not... they're just not like that. They're just not normal. Everybody else is normal. Everybody else has their stuff together. Everybody else knows what they're doing. Nobody else is winging it like we are. Everybody else is kind of knows what they're doing, has a plan, etc., etc. Where kind of most people are in the same boat.
Whereas it does seem that the very successful people, whether it's in the world of sport or finance or whatever it is, that they do really work on themselves and their self-doubt and try and cut out as much fear as they possibly can, because it does hold you back.
Yeah, absolutely. If you can't tolerate uncertainty, like if you're then going to be risk averse and you're going to be fearful of change. Like if you look at any move in your career that you want to do, if you're risk averse and fearful of change, it's not a good place to be, because again, you tend to stay longer in jobs that maybe you're overqualified for, because you feel you get into a comfort zone. And again, with worries, comfort and safety and security is kind of what you're looking for. You don't want to put yourself out there because that's a risk. So you're very likely to kind of stay in a job you're overqualified for or you've done for too long. Because we all need to take risks if we want to move on. And that the next job could be worse than the one we're in. That it's that kind of fear of the unknown, the devil, you don't know, all that kind of saying that.
Yeah, and getting outside your comfort zone and taking on all new people, new situations.
Yeah,
it can be very daunting.
Sure.
Your book gives very practical advice, and we won't be able to go through all of it, but you talk about what you should have in your toolbox to be able to cope with these sort of things. So can you outline some of those, particularly what you said about breaking down the negative thoughts? Because if somebody doesn't return a phone call, if an email doesn't get returned, you think instantly, I didn't do well there. I'm not liked. I'm not going to do well. In fact, I'm not very good at this. How do you stop all of that?
It's you have to know what the signs of worry are for starters. So know like a busy mind, attention and concentration are kind of shot with constant worry, and the intolerance of uncertainty that I mentioned earlier. And then what to do with your thoughts, because your thoughts are crucial to this piece. So it's trying to separate, and this is a piece I go into the book, and it's probably not going to be able to go into here, but
yeah.
it's the separation of yourself from that initial kind of one or two intrusive worry thoughts. Like you're walking down, as I was here, Grafton Street on a bank holiday Monday, and next thing, what if the project goes horribly tomorrow? And you're kind of thinking, okay, where did that come from? It's the engagement in that thought that actually makes it grow. It's the bodily symptoms of anxiety. So heart rate starts pounding, we start getting nauseous in our stomach, our head kind of goes a bit lightheaded. The bodily symptoms coupled with then our engagement with that thought, well, what if it does go badly? And we picture ourselves being given out, we picture our reputation being damaged, we picture that all the things we add to that initial thought.
You're giving it all the power.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas if you even write that down, what if the project goes wrong tomorrow, and write down all the possible positive outcomes and negative outcomes, and then you're in control of it. I mean, you're never going to know exactly how tomorrow is going to go, but you want to be trying to focus on the positive and step away from that thought a little bit.
Exactly.
If you can.
Yeah, yeah.
We have a number of texts coming in for you. I suffer badly from anxiety, says one texter. Has your guest got any recommendations for good mindfulness or meditation app? Would you recommend that as a form of...
Yeah, well, getting into the present moment, like worry can't exist in the present. It's usually future based. It's usually what if and all that kind of stuff. If you get into the future, like for apps, the Headspace one is the obvious one. It's the big kind of current one at the moment. And mindfulness is great, but like for people who aren't great in meditation, which is a lot of us, it's just kind of even bringing yourself into the present moment with your senses. Like so consciously using your senses that you use all the time. So what are three or four things that I can see, that I can taste, that I can hear, and constantly accepting that you will be going off repeatedly to your thoughts and just bringing yourself back. Okay, present moment again. Who am I talking to? What are they saying? Eye contact. Off I go into my thoughts again. Okay, back I come again.
That Where am I? I'm walking through Grafton Street. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Let's just take a deep breath and move on. And mindfulness can help train you with that. Can you ask your guest what he suggests for a mother who constantly worries about her son who is 23? Is that just par for the course?
Let him go. No, it is, absolutely. And look parents and children, absolutely. The constant worry, it's the disengagement in worry and allowing your son to make his own mistakes. To, and again, he needs to be able to out there. And that's the thing with now people, children living longer with their parents. They need to be out there experiencing the world and making their own mistakes. And if she can step back, as hard as it is as a mother to see difficulties with her kids, it's really difficult. So
yeah,
to try and disengage those thoughts, to say, listen, he'll figure that out. Trust that he'll be able to figure whatever he has to figure out. And that'll include doing things badly. So you have to let him do those things badly and knowing he'll learn from them.
Well, the book is called The Professional Worrier and deals very much with the workplace and does give a lot of practical advice on how you handle all of these thoughts. Stuart Geddes, a counsellor, psychotherapist and author of that book. Thank you very much for coming in to talk to us. Now, the answer to our competition to win a stay at Farnham Estate. The answer who left Dancing with the Stars last night was Fred Cook, and the winner is Orla Smith in Kimmage. So congratulations to you, and tune in tomorrow for another chance to win. That's it from us for today. Unfortunately, my thanks to Michael Quilligan, who was on sound, Claire Darmody and Emma Cawley were producing, and Sarah Huan was on research. Lunchtime Live will be back tomorrow at 12. But from me, enjoy the rest of your bank holiday weekend, and Tom Dunn is up next on Moncrief.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc, your online healthcare provider. See a doctor, therapist, or physio now on our app or at videodoc.ie.